Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from Nam, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be cultivating sustainable waste management habits with Emmanuel Keim, who is a zero waste technician. Hi, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. It'll be great to talk to you. But before we do, I'd love to learn a little bit more about you and why you're here today.
Well, I live in San Francisco. I'm a zero waste technician at a large university. I did not major in environmental science. I was actually a musician, but I've worked in trash, recycling, reuse for over 30 years of my life. So
what is a zero waste technician? Because it sounds, I've never thought about it. And I'm curious as to what that means. Is it like, you know, you get your waste and you turn it into things fix the systems that dispose of things? Yeah. Can you explain what that is?
Well, it's a nice way to say I sort the trash. Mm-hmm. And we, check to see how people are sorting and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
So is this like, you know, you're going through the recycling and you're saying, oh, this person put this in the recycling. It's not supposed to be in the recycling. That kind of thing?
Yes, but only we go through just the landfill to see okay. what could have avoided going there. We're trying to get to zero waste. So,
mm-hmm. Of course, yes.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, it's a sponge up.
Mm-hmm. I've always wondered, yeah, how that happens. I don't know. I just imagined a conveyor belt, I guess, with a machine sorting it. I guess it's not that easy.
No, unfortunately.
So we're going to do a section called Have You Met Emmanuel, which is where we get to know you through some of your favorite things. So the first thing I'd like to know is, what is your favorite book?
It's called Accordion Crimes. It's by Annie Proulx, and it chronicles the path of an accordion made by an Italian who comes to the U.S. and it goes through various people's hands and it talks about the cultures for each of the people for like 60, 70 years, I think even longer. It's a fun story.
That's an interesting book because I do wonder sometimes, you know, I like to buy a lot of secondhand things. I wonder like, who was the person who owned this item before me? And an instrument obviously is a very expensive, you know, well-made piece of machinery that can probably be used by many people. So it must have a really interesting life.
Yes. So it has a lot of stories. It's fiction work, but the first owner of it is actually the one who made it. So. Mm.
It's a little bit like, in Star Wars when, was it C-3PO is doing their adventures with Anakin, who made them, kind of their dad.
Right. Yes.
And then promptly forgets who they are.
Yeah, sorry, I can't give a lot of details. I read the book many years ago. Mm-hmm.
But. And what about a movie? Have you seen any that you've enjoyed recently?
Well, last weekend we saw the Taylor Swift concert mm-hmm. movie, Eras. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of Swifties in my office, so I've heard a bit about Taylor Swift, but I actually haven't watched the movie. Would you recommend it?
I would definitely recommend it. I'm not a Swiftie, if you would say that. I actually was surprised I knew as many songs as I did. But I really enjoyed it.
Okay, that's good to hear because, like a concert movie isn't generally for an artist that I don't really, you know, follow. that generally doesn't seem like a particularly interesting thing to me, but you know, she's made such a huge mark. Maybe it's worth watching. So thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah. No problem.
And do you listen to any podcasts?
Yeah, no, I don't really. I'm a musician, and so I spend a lot of my time listening to music.
Do you have any music that you're listening to at the moment that you'd recommend?
I've been listening to a wide variety of older stuff. So,
I know it's like asking me to pick a favorite book. Like, how do you pick? How do you choose?
Right. Sinead O'Connor. A lot of her old stuff.
I think I've only heard probably her most favorite famous song. So I have to check her out, see if there's anything else I'd like. And do you have a role model?
No, I don't think so. Not that I can think of.
That's okay. I don't think I have a role model either. I think that, you know, everyone has their flaws, and I guess I learn a little bit from everyone, but I don't have a particular role model.
You're right. That's a very good answer. That's what I should
say. I've been doing this podcast for a while, so I've talked to a lot of people. And have you done any courses that have inspired you?
Well, in the zero waste, since we're talking about trash, I recently did a certification program for zero waste advisors, and it's TRU standing for total resource use and efficiency. So it was a very helpful, even with all the many years of zero waste experience I had, I learned quite a bit through the training. So that was great.
Interesting. Would you recommend that for anyone who's interested in zero waste, or is it specifically for people who are working in the environment?
I think probably it would be best for people who are working in that industry or in that environment, yes.
Okay. Because, I mean, we are all about helping everyone to learn new things. But I guess, you know, there's a difference between learning first aid and maybe, you know, doing some kind of medical course.
Right.
Yeah.
I will think about another course that I could suggest that was more open to the general public.
No, that's okay. I think it's really good for everyone to learn, you know, more niche things and also more broad things.
Great,
thank you. So we're talking about, you know, zero waste and how we can be a bit more sustainable with our waste. But the first thing I would like to know is, how do you define home organization?
Home organization. I guess focusing on making life simple, like finding ways to be very thoughtful about the way things are organized, I guess you'd say. I'm not exactly sure what else to say about that.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, you know, with the way that you've kind of said that, you know, making the home simple and easy to use, it's the same, I think, with waste, because, you know, recently in my council area, they've added glass waste bins. So we've got, you know, our green waste bins, we've got our general waste, we've got recycling, and they've added glass. My kitchen was set up to have three things recycled, and now there's this fourth thing that I don't have set up. And it's really annoying because I don't quite know what to do with the glass. And so I think it kind of comes back to what you were saying, which is making it simple. It'd be simple if I had a fourth recycling container for the glass, but I don't. So yeah, I have to be a bit more organized and get myself a fourth recycling container.
Right. So we do, my partner and I do spend a good amount of time planning to make things a little easier.
It's a bit harder, I think, to find the time to do it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. We prioritize it because we really like to be in a comfortable home environment where things are predictable and well organized.
That sounds like the dream.
Not that it's always perfect by any means, but
I think we all strive. Yeah, exactly. Strive to get there.
Yes.
So I would love to know, how do you define waste minimization at home?
Waste minimization, I feel like it starts with just what you bring into the house. Because honestly, as far as the hierarchy, as it were, of zero waste, the whole refusing is the first reword. You know, just finding ways to not bring the stuff in the first place makes it a lot easier because there's nothing left. Leave.
That makes sense. Yeah, like if you want to have less, if you want to have to get rid of less stuff, you know, start by not having so much stuff to begin with.
Right.
And you mentioned as well the waste hierarchy?
So the zero waste hierarchy, basically we're going to start at the top with redesigning things in the first place. This is less home stuff, but reducing what we bring in and returning things. And then below that is reusing things, repairing, remanufacturing. That's not really quite home related, but after that, we've got recycling and compost. And right at the bottom is landfill, incineration, and hopefully not incineration.
Incineration is right at the bottom.
Yes.
Okay, so the first one was refusing. So yeah, not letting things come into the house or not producing things.
Specific, yeah.
Yeah. What was the second level again, sorry?
It was redesigning, reducing, and returning.
Okay, so I wanted to ask about returning. How does that work?
Like glass bottles. There's a, at least in Berkeley where I used to live, they had a tool lending library. So you could borrow tools that you wouldn't necessarily need to buy because you're using it once or twice. And I believe that they're making a resurgence across the U.S. right now.
I've seen similar things as well here in Melbourne, which is really great, particularly like tool libraries. Like, yes, I do want a sander once a year.
Right.
And particularly libraries. I love libraries. And I think people forget that they're really great for reducing, you know, how much we buy and how much we are using.
Right. Yes. We love our libraries here.
And you also said redesigning. So I'm guessing that's things like redesigning packaging so that you throw out less.
Right. You're making it, less packaging or, you know, I think the various companies have worked towards like reducing the amount of cardboard that goes in a mailer and stuff like that.
And what was the next level down?
This is the reuse, repair, and remanufacture.
So the second or the third layer is, you said, repair, reuse, and what was the last one, sorry?
Oh, it was remanufacture.
Remanufacture.
I don't really have a lot to say about that.
That's more of a not a home thing, so I think
right.
We can ignore that one for now. But the other two, so reusing. That's things like, you know, using a reusable water bottle?
That's correct, yes. Mm-hmm. And then we also have, it's not listed in this, but also repurpose, finding a new use for a thing that you have. Like artists sometimes repurpose various supplies that they would have just gotten rid of for another purpose altogether.
Mm. Yeah, actually, I think my cousin did that with my aunt's insulin medication. I think some part of the medication, because she has to have it to live. But my cousin made this amazing art with it.
Wow, that's excellent.
Yeah. So how do we integrate, you know, this hierarchy into our, or first of all, why is there a hierarchy? Why is one why is it better to, you know, reuse rather than put into landfill or compost it? Which was, I was surprised composting was so low.
Right. Well, I think it's all about how much energy is used really to create something and then consume it and then dispose of it, however it's being disposed, whether it's being recycled, composted, or landfilled. They all involve transportation and then like a remanufacturing for or recycling, and composting requires a lot of energy as well.
Even like composting at home?
Less so.
Okay.
I'm thinking more commercial composting. I'm lucky to live in a city in San Francisco where we do have curbside compost and recycling. But, you know, that's a lot of moving, you know, a lot of vehicles. And
that's true. I hadn't thought about that. I'm also lucky that I have that a green waste bin, because I tried composting once. It did not go well.
Yes, we don't have the green area in our house for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how can we integrate waste management and, you know, the hierarchy of zero waste into our own lives? Because, you know, I certainly try my best, but I know that I'm nowhere close to zero waste.
Right. Well, neither am I. It's a good ideal. And I feel like there's a little too much guilt associated with this, whether we can make it or not, if we can do that or not. But honestly, sort of do the better than you did the day before or a year before. Mm-hmm. We try, in each of our areas of the house, we really just try to figure out ways that we could be a little more sustainable, and it can change over time. Like we could move from, for example, in the kitchen, we could move from getting items in bulk in a plastic container and then move to bringing our own container over time, you know, to the market.
Yeah, it's just, and I guess doing it slowly so you don't feel like you're too overwhelmed.
Right.
Do you have any other, like, you know, examples from your own home of ways that you've tried to be a bit more zero waste?
Recently we've been starting to make our own, like, jams and stuff like that. We're even going to experiment with deodorant because of the waste that purchasing, first of all, it's also saving money, but it would also be removing less packaging.
Yeah, I find that the deodorant packaging and a lot of the toiletries that we use, but particularly deodorants, there's so much plastic, and I really don't know how much product there is in there, but I also can't think of a better way to package it. Do you mind sharing, you know, what you've, if you don't mind?
Right, no worries.
How you've, you know, managed to create, I guess, a lower waste or a zero waste deodorant?
Right. So we're actually in the learning process, watching a bunch of YouTube DIY videos, but it will involve using one of our past containers mm-hmm. and pouring our own created deodorant into it.
Okay, because those packages, as far as I can see, they're always like sealed. So have you made like a little hole that you're going to plug up again?
I can do a show next week. I'm not sure how this is going to work.
Okay,
we're
going to
give it our best shot. But I'm watching like two or three different DIY videos.
And okay.
Hopefully it'll work.
I mean, it's great that I guess we get to see zero waste, you know, attempts in action, because it sort of shows as well that, you know, you're still learning.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, do you have any, like, are there some mistakes that you see a lot of people make when they're trying to go zero waste that, you know, you can help people out and give them some advice?
Well, I would say know what your life is like, and don't try to overshoot, you know, because the frustration, I remember trying to like basically remove all packaging from my life. I remember back 20 years ago, I used to ride a bike everywhere, and I would take tons of little glass jars with me, and it was just not tenable. It just wasn't sustainable, really, for my life, and it frustrated me. And I think if I had taken gradual steps, that it would have probably stuck better. Now it's coming back.
And I guess, you know, using those glass containers at home, but maybe taking plastic when you go out.
Right.
So what are some other recommendations you have to try to reduce the amount of, impacts we're having on the environment?
Buying locally, buying from local thrift stores. There's so many great stores, at least where I am right now, where you can get things that are practically new and they've already been manufactured. There's no need to have another purchase.
Mm-hmm. I love buying secondhand because I get the feeling of a new purchase without all the guilt.
Right.
What kinds of things can you buy secondhand? Like, or what do you recommend? I personally am worried about soft furnishings. I would ever buy a soft furnished item secondhand. But what kinds of things can you buy secondhand?
I do buy clothing secondhand, but also books, music, instruments even. My keyboard was bought secondhand, and electronics, all sorts of things.
Great.
We declutter a lot. We've been very moved by Marie Kondo and the whole decluttering movement, and so that also helps keep the organization, like the waste, down in our house. When we bring something in, we take something out. And donating to thrift stores, or there's a store in California, in San Francisco, called Scrap. It's a nonprofit, Scroungers Center for Reusable Art Parts, and it's a wonderful place where people can go, and teachers can get supplies for free there.
So, oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's a great source. So yeah, we'll bring something in, take something out. Mm-hmm. Keep the level of stuff low.
Yeah, that's my problem, stuff. And so, you know, you've mentioned secondhand stores, but I'm guessing that's not the only place that you can find secondhand goods. Do you have any recommendations for other places that you can, you know, find these items?
Well, online.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sure, like local, even like Craigslist and Facebook have places where you can purchase secondhand goods. But
So move on to the practices and habits section. So that's where we talk about something that you do in your own home to help to manage the waste. So what is something that you do in your own home to manage the waste?
Right. Well, one thing we were noticing was that we were wasting food. Food was going bad. And so we've really worked towards organizing how we make meals and how we shop. And so now we plan every weekend for what we're going to eat for the following week. And I think that this has been, one, a money saver, and also less food being disposed of. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm certainly guilty of that impulse purchasing some fresh pasta and then not eating all of it by the end of the week. So doing some meal planning. And what are some challenges with that?
If we have a busy weekend, sometimes it's hard to get to that. And we might get pizza for a couple of days. But time. time management. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but I guess we try to get that happening every week because it's a high priority for us.
And how has it impacted your home?
Well, we don't have these big kitchen clean outs as often where we have to get rid of spoiled food because the food that we have in the fridge is being used for whatever menu item we're making that week. Mm-hmm. There's a few items that sometimes end up in the back that we decide not to use that, you know, have to be composted, but overall we've definitely been able to save space in the fridge. And yeah,
and I bet that saves a bit of money as well.
Indeed it does.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, what a great practice.
Yes. Always like to save money.
Mm. So we've also got some questions from the audience today.
Okay.
So our first question is, what are the economic advantages of waste minimization and efficient resource use for businesses and individuals?
Well, the first thing I'd go with is money saving.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's probably the biggest one.
Mm-hmm. Our second question is, how do we repurpose and upcycle materials to minimize waste and promote sustainability? This might be a bit broad because
yeah.
You can do almost anything.
I'm trying to think of examples of how we've recently repurposed. Okay, well, like for example, we had to buy our sink. We had no place to put sponges and stuff like that. So we took an old curtain rod and put it right below the cabinet. And it now serves as we put hooks on it and it's perfect for what we need it for like, there's a little area where we can put reusable straws. And now there's a little place where we can clip on the sponge after we dry it out. Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Repurposing is very fun. It can be a fun activity. And also saves money once again.
Mm-hmm. And allows you to get a bit creative.
Absolutely. Indeed.
So what are the consequences for improper waste disposal and what are some environmental and health hazards associated?
There's lots of consequences for, first of all, in some municipalities, you can get charged if you incorrectly sort your trash or your trash or your recycling or your composting. So there's that. There's also the risk of like hazardous materials entering the landfill or even like there's hazards for like batteries if they're mishandled, if they're put often, well, not often, fortunately, not often, but occasionally they'll go through recycling facilities and cause fires.
Oh.
Yeah. So... yeah, there's a lot of consequences for not doing it correctly.
Yeah.
It's also very confusing because every municipality does it differently. So.
Mm. Yeah, on batteries, a few times I've had to, you know, tell my parents, you know, don't put batteries in the bin because I've seen the videos, I think, where it sets like rubbish trucks on fire. And I mean, it's dangerous, it's smelly, it's, you know, not good all around for everyone. Toxic.
Indeed, yes.
Also, who wants a burning fire truck, burning garbage truck outside their house? No thanks.
Nope.
Yeah, so I want to avoid that as much as possible.
All right.
So we're going to do the open mic now. So that's where you get a chance to talk about something that you're passionate about. It doesn't have to be related to our topic, but it can be. And I think you had something special to share with us today.
Yeah, sure. So one of my old jobs, I was a salvager at a transfer station. And my job was to find things that were reusable, repurposable, and bring it to a store where they sold it. Mm-hmm. And in the process of doing that, I would find old photos, like really old photos, antiques, vintage materials and stuff. But I really enjoyed finding old letters, like correspondence. And once in a while, you know, I would purchase that from the store once I found it. And there's something really amazing about looking back at old history from someone else's life and like reading their handwriting, trying to read their handwriting. And so I started during the pandemic, had a lot of home time as we were all homebound. Started taking photos of all of these handwritten materials that I had, and started a Instagram page where I think it's some sort of repurposing. I'm not sure, but one of the biggest parts of what brings me joy from doing this is getting these artifacts, these letters and photos and stuff back to family members who somehow lost them, or so it's kind of interesting how many other people do this too.
You know, if you have a letter, how do you get it back to the person? Do they see it on your Instagram page and say, hey, that's me? Or do you find them?
That has not happened yet, but I have gone and searched for names and then seen if I could contact someone from the family, and have had, I've probably returned four or five, maybe more people, their family's materials.
Oh, and you said that, you know, some other people do this as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, is it a huge community or just a few people?
More than I thought. I'm not sure how many, but when I started this page, I started running across other people who were doing the same thing and Facebook groups. And so, yeah, maybe it's a budding interest. I don't know.
I mean, one of my favorite things is sometimes I buy secondhand books and I get postcards in them. Someone's just used it as a bookmark, and I love them. I keep them. I love seeing this like little tiny glimpse into this person's holiday.
Right.
Yeah. Particularly when the address is just down the road and I'm like, oh, they didn't actually go that far. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. What's the name of your Instagram page?
Handwritten Histories.
Thank you. So we'll put those in the show notes. And on that note, if people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
I would say probably LinkedIn would be the best place.
Great. Thank you. And we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Great.
Perfect. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Great.
You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriella Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.